Climax of the Challenge Total Madness Wrap Up Podcast for episode 12. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, my co-host, Al Usher. Ali, how are you?
Welcome back, Brian.
Yeah.
Skipped out last
doing
week.
The intro again.
Skipped out last week. You heard how much I botched that intro.
Yeah, it's not, it's amazing. You know, I feel like you've done it a few times, and it's not, at least I don't think it's the most complicated thing to do. I don't know. Because I read the same thing every single time, so I have it down.
Yeah, well, it's also like I can't do it as you do it. Like, I always say, what's going on? I don't know if you noticed this, but when I used to host Are You the One, after you abandoned me there, just like last week.
Yep.
No, but it was great to podcast with Adam. I don't want to be like, you abandoned me, and I was upset. I was fine without you. But after that, I would always say, what's going on? Because you say, how are you? And I was mm-hmm. like, I can't say, how are you? I have to say, what's going on? So it's like when you hear someone do it every day, you don't want to do the exact same thing. That's what makes it hard. Who cares?
Yeah. So I did the Patreon AMA on Monday, and someone said they do a perfect impression of my opening. I thought that was a very odd skill to have, but someone has it.
Do you know how often I've heard that, Brian? Have people not said that to you?
No, no one. The first time in my life.
Mary on the podcast I did on Riverdale, which feels like a fever dream, honestly, said she did perfect impression. I've just heard a lot of people say they can impersonate. You've really, like, that's, I feel like, your big, your mark, your signature. Because, like,
my open? I have a mark? I have a trademark?
I sent it, actually, to someone, and he was like, does he, like, purposely try to slur your name? And I was like, it's gotten faster and faster over the years.
I try to, like, vary. Sometimes I go really quick. Sometimes I go slow. Or probably not slow, but sometimes slower or faster.
Let's
but
try it slow.
I try to mix it up a little
bit. Let's try one slow. Right.
Next one, I'm going to do it incredibly slow.
All right, man, let's throw a slow one out now.
Just your name slow. This is Ali Lasher.
I meant the whole intro, not just say, Brian, say my name slow.
All right, fine. Here we go. Thanks, you. Ready? Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Total Madness Wrap Up Podcast. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Ali Lasher.
You still said,
Ali, how are you?
You still said Ali Lasher, like, much more quickly than the rest of the stuff you said.
It just flows together. It's impossible.
That was unbearable. I meant, say the regular intro, say the name slow.
I can't do this again. This is the worst 2.5 minutes of podcast we've ever done in our
lives.
That's
most certainly not true. Look, all right, you're back. We had a tough week last week. We're still in the midst of tough times, to say the effing least. Johnny was great. I just want to...
He was.
A lot of people wrote to me. I don't even know if I tagged Johnny in all of it, but just want to give another thanks to Johnny. He was great.
Not an easy pinch hit appearance. That's like coming in with, like, base loaded, no out, and I think I combine that with that type of situation to walk into. So he did a great job.
Bases loaded, no out. I mean, that's like... Isn't that a great situation? Oh, the pitcher.
Well, for a reliever. For a pitcher. Okay. Yeah.
I was like, what's the opposite of that? No, but not to make light of it. It's tough. We're going to move forward in a tough spot. Like, obviously, mm-hmm. as we saw, we're back to 1.5 hour episodes. That was a weird way to say that. 1.5 hour episodes. D is gone. And I said this before, and I'll be completely honest. Before we got on the podcast, I was like, I don't want to say this on the podcast, but, and then I was like, no, I want to say this on the podcast. Like, we're just going to keep it honest. And again, you can at me on this, like, please at me on this. And anything about this. It's like D did so many bad things, 100%. And this is the least bad outcome. Like, the least of the problems is that, like, the show is fucked up now. Sorry, I haven't cursed on this show in a long time, but it is. It's like BS that, you know, and it's MTV's fault. And so it's so complicated. Like, this is why I didn't want to say, because it hasn't been fully thought out. And I don't want to come here without fully formed ideas, even though that's all I do. But, like, obviously, we all know we didn't get D's reaction. There are some silver linings. We got a lot of Mel, and that was awesome.
It was. Star-studded episode for her.
Yeah, what's your sort of take on as we move forward through this season?
Yeah, it's really tough, because obviously last week was a mess, cutting out a lot of the stuff, which is funny. I watched the episode after I saw a lot of Twitter stuff about how all this episode was such a choppy mess. And I guess because I went in with super low expectations, I didn't think it was that bad. Maybe because I just knew going in that they were going to cut D out so tremendously that I was expecting it. But I didn't think it was as bad as people said. This week, I almost... The beginning of it was worse because it was clearly going to be a big blow up. Obviously, after D gets blindsided, goes into relation, wins, and then it just glosses over. And then I don't think her face appeared the entire episode. It was kind of just jarring. Even when they said her name in the challenge, I almost like, I kind of like forgot that she was like cut out. So it's bizarre. And I think it's clear she's going to probably go to the finals. There's a good chance. I mean, she could win, which would be just catastrophe, or at very least, you know, plays top three. So it really just puts like a weird cloud and just weird situation over the whole back half of the last few episodes of the season. It's a very weird spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think it speaks to sort of like MTV moving forward with more care about who they're inviting onto the show, who they're asking back, the conversations you have in casting with people. I mean, it doesn't take much to go find tweets for a lot of other tweets and stuff have come forward from other people on the show, not necessarily this season or not necessarily still in the game, but it's like, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race has happened this season, and it's like, with a little bit of research, I mean, not research, but like, you can find this stuff out, right? It comes out later, so I you know, this shouldn't be the situation, right? It shouldn't be reactive. It should be proactive, and hopefully we're going to move towards that. But you know, we have to bear the brunt of it now. Plus side, no Rogan either this episode.
Yeah, Rogan, since she attached the D, kind of falls by the wayside as well. Freaking Rogan. I mean, I know, like, just forgetting the D stuff, but for Rogan himself to screw her over twice so publicly. And by the way, just shout out to Bananas. That was so diabolically brilliant to like shift the blame sort of off him in that moment. That was so, I love that. That was an unbelievable moment. But for Rogan to do that again, like, Rogan is just an unbelievable scumbag too in this whole situation. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's almost like he had been given a pretty positive edit and made to look like an innocent bystander and then has these big shocking moments as opposed to the reality, which is he's always been a scumbag.
Always scumbag.
All right.
Always scumbag.
Well, let's not give any more attention to those two for now. I'm sure we'll be seeing Rogan later in the season. But another funny move for Bananas, speaking of his move last week, like when he comes in, I can't believe Josh and Rogan would do that to you, Melissa. It's like, it's funny. It's also de-escalating, even though it gets her mad. I also think it sort of works a little bit. Like, obviously she knows what he's doing, but she does come out more angry at Josh.
Yeah, I mean, if you say something enough, it might just get in someone's head. If you keep saying it's Rogan and Josh, it's Rogan and Josh, it's Rogan and Josh, and then Melissa's like, yeah, it's Rogan and Josh, it's Josh, it's Josh, it's Josh. And Josh is just, he's so not the de-escalator, so, you know, if you put a spark to him, it's going to go crazy anyway. So that, it was just the perfect storm of, like, having that sidekick be Josh, and that was what's going to cause the blow-up.
It's not a lie if you believe it, Brian.
Yeah, of course. Motto to live by. Well, not really, but sometimes.
The other thing, too, is, like, it's possible that, like, Mel knows that she can't do anything to Bananas and she still has some authority to like keep Josh out of a Red Skull situation. Also, Josh might be less likely to have power. Like, it's easier to be mad at Josh than it is Bananas. I think that might come into play too.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed like Mel's disdain for Josh was growing, and this was kind of like the cherry on top, where I guess if she was close with Bananas, and plus Josh's vote was like the second vote, which could have played an impact too. So there's a couple things that could have led to this too.
Can relate. Growing resentment towards Josh. One thing I also wanted to say at the top of the show, as we talk about Melissa and we see more Kyle and we see more Fessy and we see more Swaggy and Bailey, like, it really does show sort of like how stacked this cast really was, that like literally Rogan and Dee were probably like 50-60% of every episode, and like what, including Wes in that too. And like, if you cut them out completely, you still have like a very great watchable episode. Like, I didn't miss them at all, except for like, we knew that she would be angry about it, but like, it did not seem like anything was lost. And like, putting more attention on to like Nani and Casey, like, who knows what moments we wouldn't have gotten. And I'm happy. There's not one thing I would have cut out, except maybe the entire challenge.
No, totally. And poor Maddie. Like, this could have been her spot. Like, if this was like this week, where she would have had even more of a showing, because like, she was invisible all season, comes in, her elimination episode is the one that's cut short, And then she could have been in here where there's a lot more airtime and just see kind of the way it fell out.
But all right, so I kind of like messed that up. But let's talk about Swaggy and Bailey. I really do think this was a great episode for them in terms of, for me, highlighting and reminding me like what an unbelievable game they've played for rookies. Granted, Fessy later makes a really good point that sort of like this format is really good for rookies. Like, I don't know how much longer they would have lasted on a regular season.
Yeah, it's good in like, but it's good like once you get to the middle part and people realize, but as you saw with Jay, like early on, if you're just that target, you're just going to be repeated to be that target. But yeah, once you get past the first few votes and then people start trying to make moves from themselves. Yeah. I mean, because it's not like they didn't really do a lot to stay out of elimination. They just did just enough to not want to go in and also not go in. So it's not a normal like, oh, look at us. We didn't go into elimination all season long.
No, totally. But like they, to me, played, and we've been talking about it all season, like the perfect rookie game in that they gave good confessionals. They had tasteful drama, you know, like nothing like crazy. But that fight with Josh, I think, was important for Swaggy to have from a character perspective.
Yep.
Like they made good alliances with Wes and with D maybe. But like they had a good little team going. They stayed out of being that target that could like Swaggy easily could have been. And I think it was important that Bailey was there with him to like sort of be two votes. And so I just can't get over. I mean, we see, spoiler alert, Swaggy goes home this episode. So maybe that's part of the edit. But I was like really understanding this episode like, wow, Swaggy, I feel like, played, and Bailey, the ideal game that they could have come in here and played for a return season. What I'm not clear on and need help with is like, what did I miss? I thought they were in a good social position in the house. And then it seemed like this episode, it was like, surprise, Bailey's totally alone now without me. Like, everybody hates us. We don't have any friends here. Was it really just West dependent?
Yeah, that was confusing. It's also confusing, like, where the big brother, are they really as close as people they were indicating? Like it seemed like with the Josh part that was falling apart. Yeah, where Bailey and Swaggy stood in the house, I guess that kind of shows the fact that they didn't have anyone close to them and didn't really have anyone targeting them is kind of, I think, would add to why they were able to skate by. If you don't have anyone really pushing you for to go in positively or negatively, it does allow you to skate by even more. But then it is confusing, like, who hates them? That, other than like the Josh thing they had to blow up, but other than that, it was that kind of popped up out of nowhere. But also, what did you make of Fessy? I thought this was interesting, the way he was describing Swaggy, that he thought Swaggy's trying to find himself in the house, where he came into Big Brother, he had this big ego, he had all this stuff going on, and he thought he felt a little lost here.
I also, that kind of goes into, I didn't really understand where that was coming from. I felt like that was sort of out of left field, because, I mean, maybe it is just with the scenes with Swaggy and Wes, like we knew about their relationship and they told us a lot that was like pretty secretive in the house. So maybe it was just that like Swaggy wasn't great or wasn't prioritizing building outside relationships because he had the Wes thing. So maybe from everyone else's perspective, like Swaggy's floating around, but really he has like game made for himself. Or maybe it was like Wes is gone, so now Swaggy doesn't have a place. But that took me by surprise, honestly.
Yeah, it was, that was very odd. That was odd. Out of place.
I took a bite of a candy bar because I thought you were going to say more.
And no, I did that's just it.
Big candy podcast with Puya, and so now I have all this candy around me. It's like, okay, anyway.
What I love leading up to the challenge.
Now you're going to say something.
I'm going to say something. Leading up to the challenge, I love that we got kind of a snapshot of each of the four guys, where they kind of stood and like their reasonings for being here and what they wanted to get out of it. And like their thinking spot in this place right now. I really kind of enjoyed that.
I did too. And I feel like we usually don't get that until like they're at the final and then they're like, this is what this means. And it also, to me, did not reveal like who was going in and who was going home. I mean, we definitely got heavy Corey, which, you know, I can't, excuse me. Woo. I'm like choked up literally.
We got Ryder.
You know I'm going to be excited to talk about that. But generally, as a whole, I felt like the edit didn't give anything away. And maybe it is. We had more time. So I was thrilled with that.
Yeah, 100%. It really set the kind of the groundwork of what everyone was fighting for going into this challenge.
Oh my God, how much did you want to follow Ryder K on Instagram and Cheyenne and Corey so you could stay up to date on their whole relationship?
I should.
Like,
I mean, she's gorgeous. Beautiful girl.
That is so creepy the way you said that. I hope you're talking about Cheyenne. Like,
so what is that? Cute? I don't know. What's the word for
like, she's a gorgeous,
adorable?
Beautiful girl. Like, okay. No.
I just won't speak.
No, but like, Ryder is so cute. And this was really heartbreaking. Like, obviously, we stan Corey on this podcast. Like, Zaddy, baby boy. Bryce put him on the map here. But Ryder's like mad and won't talk to him. She's 2.5. As mm-hmm. Corey says, she has no idea what's going on. All she knows is he left. And, you know, luckily, yeah, I was pretty young when I watched the challenge for the first time, but not 2.5. That's too young to watch. But like, and then Corey says like his dad wasn't around. So he knows mm-hmm. as like a kid would feel, he knows that feel. Oh, just like the whole thing really broke my heart.
Yeah, it was tough. And then shout out Nelson for actually seeming like a good friend in that moment, kind of like being there for him, listening to him, letting him cry, letting him talk, and not being like typical Nelson self. He actually was like a good friend and kind of acknowledging that. So that was nice to say.
It is interesting. One thing I've been thinking about since Bryce has been on, and you know, with everything going on, say the least, is like when that happened with Nelson and Kayla. Like, to me, and I'll only speak for myself, I was like, oh, obviously, like, Nelson's flying off the handle, like, out of control, like, Kayla, you know, didn't do anything. And Bryce's perspective was like, she, in from Bryce's perspective, she came at Nelson in a way that riled him up and made him, like, let mm-hmm. him speak, like, that kind of thing. And it really has made me think in the last few episodes, like, I find it very easy to relate to the women on this show, or, like, you know, Kayla, I'm defending her freaking cheating on her boyfriend, like, because like I can mm-hmm. more easily see myself in that position or relate to how she's feeling and the ways that maybe I've been unfair to Nelson, to just like be like, Nelson's crazy. Like, I have no idea where he's coming from in this moment. And like here, and I've been thinking about that a lot and have been meaning to mention on the podcast, but like, here's the moment. Cause Nelson is a good friend. Like this, I know this from mm-hmm. stalking Ryder K and Corey, and like, he's like Uncle Nelson to her. Like that's
Uncle Nelly
T. Like, he's really, really close to Corey and Corey's entire family and knows that history and knows about Ryder's first year without Corey. And like, so Nelson was, this was like a great moment for Corey and Nelson, just the way all season it's sort of been like, from our perspective and generally even from Corey's perspective, like, what the hell, Nelson's ruining Corey's game. Like, well, here's where Nelson mm-hmm. makes Corey's game.
Yeah, absolutely. They, Nelson, had, Corey had like a moment during this middle of the season where he's trying to separate with Nelson, but luckily, I guess for them, luckily that it kind of simmered down from there and they can, keep each other calm.
And this is sort of jumping around, but it is really that, like, that relationship would not make, you know, that's sort of the difference between a Corey and a Nelson and a D and Rogan, is like, D and Rogan are a game and Nelson and Corey are like a real life friendship. So like, that mm-hmm. will trump, even if it would be bad for Corey's game. I feel like we saw here, as we're going to talk about the voting after the challenge, sorry to jump, is like the ways that, you know, we've been debating all season, is Big T making an alliance with, what do we call them? The Widow Brigade.
Oh, the Holy,
the Holy
Trinity?
Trinity. What? that was a brain fart. Do those deals work? We see Corey all season being like, what are you going to scratch my back, scratchers? The way the votes come out, and I think, you know, some of that does help him, but like, Anissa's like, he's my friend. Sorry, I know I said I owe you. Jenny, Kyle's my friend. I know I said I owe you, Corey. Like, mm-hmm. those relationships are going to trump those like in-game alliances you make. If people are, you know, Big T doesn't have that history, so she doesn't have anything to lose. But yeah, the other people.
Yeah, but I think what it does is at least then it sets the framework to then try to build that outside of it in between seasons. So now you're kind of starting as challenge friends, and then in between seasons, you can then morph into real friends. And then you have that history and that kind of that stronger foundation than just, you know, I owe you one, now you owe me one type thing. Now you have that level to try to build to get to that point.
Just like us. We started as challenge friends. And
exactly.
You know. We get a lot of feedback.
I won't say your name. I won't say your name in elimination.
People got very excited about that in a way that made me uncomfortable.
You would think they would realize, you know, I don't invite acquaintances to weddings, but I don't know.
Well, that was sort of that's your tribunal. And I'm like, oh, if I agree that it's like, I'm saying, you know, you'll be invited to my wedding. LOL. We know that's not happening. But all right, let's talk about the daily. I don't know if you know, that's what we're calling it now.
Yes,
okay.
That's what we're calling it. I like it. All right, I'm good with it.
We didn't come up with it. That's Reddit. So.
Yeah.
But it sounds cool.
It does, the daily.
You know what's not cool?
Daily
Another
show.
Tank.
It's not, but you know what is cool and that I just enjoy how much TJ enjoys it. Like, that's not like a fake laugh or a fake. He just has so much. He's like a little kid on that thing. And as kind of corny as it is, I enjoy it when TJ's happy.
All right, I'm not going to yuck your yums. Go ahead, lay the challenge out, because you know I didn't take a single note except another tank, question mark.
Challenge, tanks a lot, great pun, split up into teams of three. They have to carry heavy debris across a field for an undetermined amount of time. They will then weigh everyone's buckets or crates, wherever they put all the debris in. Top two teams advance to the final round, where they drag a sled across a field. And the first team to finish all that wins.
What'd you think?
I actually enjoyed it. I can see how this could get long and repetitive. And there was just a very on the money clip of Nelson being like, this challenge is never going to end. Like, I feel like that could be replayed at many other times throughout the history of the challenge. But I actually enjoyed it because it kind of just fit the theme of the season, where you're doing something for a while and you just don't know like when it's going to cut off and end. And I feel like that kind of fit this format that they were going to. You don't know when the Red Skull thing's going to end and it's going to be the final. So I don't know if that was like the intention, but I kind of enjoyed that symbolism.
I like it because it's like, that's like what happened with Turbo, right? Where he like freaked out and then he had actually won because like they don't know when they need to stop.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I watch this on, look, people can come for me. I don't want to hear like, she doesn't even like the show. Like, I watched this challenge on double speed and it was the best thing I ever did. Like, not the whole episode, just the challenge. And I highly recommend it if the challenges are starting to drag for you. Like, you see absolutely everything you need to. And it happens at double the speed. I think this is fine. I feel like we've seen a lot of moving. It reminded me of a lot of the eliminations we've had, moving balls out of the mm-hmm. dumpsters, putting wheelbarrows full of crap into canisters. The CT and J thing was moving heavy stuff. So I feel like we've seen it. I like the two-part element of it, maybe.
Yeah, that I like a lot. I like that a lot.
I like that both teams with two women moved the heavy stuff the best. I like that.
Yeah.
I didn't like that people got hurt.
No one likes people getting hurt. Luckily, it didn't seem like it. In fact, although it seemed like freaking Kyle Falk is going to lose his entire hand the way it was going about, and then seemed to be okay after that. I don't know. I was okay with it. I enjoyed watching it, so I'll take
it. It wasn't the worst one for sure, but I don't know how I would have felt if I didn't watch on double speed. Sorry, everyone.
Yeah. It was fun commentary. I like Kyle being like, you know, if you just give me a simple task, I can do it. Just don't make anything too complicated. Kyle has I feel like Kyle has a good amount of self-awareness that makes him funny when he's in this type of spot. So that was enjoyable.
Kyle was good this episode.
Good episode. For another one who has kind of been invisible, this was a very good episode for him. You say he had a few good moments.
But the moments on this, I feel like, does not a good contestant make. Like, I feel like, honestly, Kyle without Kara and Polly has not sort of made his own way this season.
No, he really hasn't, outside of the, you know, the blood feud he had with Rogan. Nothing else really.
All right, so Bailey D and Fessy win. And then we go to the house vote. We don't go to it, but we talk about it, and we only have Kyle and Corey throwing themselves up. What's Josh's logic here? Can you explain why Josh does not want to go in, besides that he's afraid?
Josh, man, he is one confusing dude. Because he, I can't count. Like, he just was a walking hypocrite the entire episode. And he's just, he's just, I feel like if I was in the house too, he would drive me crazy because he just keeps saying and doing the opposite things in like the same sentence and the same day in the same episode. It's, I can't fathom his logic. I mean, I guess it was the logic people had, like, I want to see what the challenge is, but it's like at a certain point, you don't have that luxury. And especially knowing, like, he had to know when one of the votes is someone's wife, there's a very good chance that person's going to go in, that you can't bank on the tribunal to send you in.
Yeah, Will Simon said, Josh and making excuses for himself. Can you name a more iconic couple?
good for Josh for having such a big part of this season for someone who, you know, may just get cut before the finals, depending on how this shakes out. Like, he could have easily been in the Kyle spot and not really had much of a role because he just hasn't been. But he's made a name for himself throughout the season. So I guess kudos to him for that.
No, Josh is a very good reality television contestant. Like, I know we talked about whether it's like he's really smart or he's just that dumb. I do think Josh knows exactly what he's doing. I also think there's a little bit of a, it's not a lie if you believe it. Like, I think he believes his own mess, but he's really good at it. And I can't take that away from him. Like, I thought he was going to crash and burn on the challenge, and he's going to be around for a while. But the logic he's pushing is like, I want to see where everyone stands for future challenges. I don't, like, so he's saying he's testing the tribunal. Okay. And then he says that he wants to see the challenge, and Fessy's like, but you know, you can't rely on us. And he's like, well, don't I trust you. So in a way, that's like interesting that he's like saying that to Fessy. I trust you so much that I'm going to put my fate in the final in your on your shoulders. Two things wrong with that. One, it's insane. And I think the tribunal, I mean, it didn't end up happening here with Swaggy, but like, I think if Bailey wasn't in the tribunal would want to send someone in jockeying. Like, I think then maybe Kyle would have had more of a chance, just like relationships aside. I don't think the tribunal respects you anymore for not wanting to get thrown in.
No, yeah, absolutely. And this tribunal, like, you couldn't have designed one better for Swaggy to go in. So it was stunning that he was putting any type of bank into that car. Like, it was be nominated or you're not going in this
week. Well, I think there's two. So I think also Fessy would not respect that. Like, Fessy wants to see someone who says, I want to go in. Fessy's not going to respect someone saying, like, I'd like to see the challenge and then give me a nod and throw me a bone. Like, I think Josh missed that window and he knows it. So I think Josh does not want to go in because he's scared, but doesn't want to make it seem like that on TV and to everyone else. So, like, exactly what you're saying. He knows he's not going to get thrown in by the tribunal, and then he can act all upset when the tribunal doesn't throw him in.
Yeah, and then also, I mean, seeing the challenge is also such a cop-out. I mean, all right, so Corey's going in. Like, what would he see that's like, oh, okay, I'm going in against Corey? Like, I mean, I think he could beat Corey, certainly, but I don't think there's any one particular spot where it's like he would have such an advantage or such a disadvantage. So at that part, I don't understand either. For most people, I don't understand where it's like, oh, I have to see what it is. Because, all right, you see a layout of a challenge. Most of the time, you don't really know what it is. And even if you do, you still could, what are you, a little bit better of a favorite in certain terms of elimination? So that whole excuse, the whole season's really been such a cop-out.
It also, I mean, it didn't perfectly work out this way because a lot of people who threw themselves in and knew they were going in lost or whatever. But like, I think I said this last week, like, I think it psychs you out more. Like, I think like you could just resolve, you know, you're going in, it's whatever it is, you like face it. I actually do think this is one that Josh would have actually wanted against Corey because he's much taller than him and it's not physical. I mean, I don't really understand, like, Swaggy also being like, I don't want a puzzle, I want it to be physical. Like, Swaggy, you don't want it to be physical against Corey, what are you talking about? Like,
yeah,
like in a hall, bro, come on. Again, he could definitely beat Corey. Like, I didn't think it was like insane. It's not like CT. Corey has choked a lot in the past, but like, this is probably one of them in terms of like, if you're afraid to go in against Corey, you don't want to see hall brawl. You don't want to see like rip the pole out of my hand. I don't know where Josh stands with puzzles. Honestly, I forget. I feel like he's good at them. So maybe you want that against Corey.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Josh might be bigger than Corey, right? I think he would do pretty well on any of those types of challenges. He's a pretty big physical dude.
No, that's true. He's much taller than him. I just picture wide being, like, I feel like Corey has the edge in Hall Brawl, maybe. And this is like, again, splitting hairs. They're all athletic dudes.
Yeah,
but like,
exactly.
He's wider and smaller, and you can sort of like more of like a Derek body, which I feel like is helpful. Like maybe you're quicker mm-hmm. and you can like slide and like you can like bash and then slide. You know, I don't know. I would not throw myself into that.
Sounds like a disco dance. The bash and
slide. The bash and slide, baby. All right. Okay, so Josh is crazy. No,
but just, yep, Josh still crazy. Playing,
but that's genius. Like, it's like it's almost like, again, it's so annoying because I feel like I could see through it, but it's working. So, like, good for him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we knew they were definitely talking about this, but it was nice to kind of get it on air that Fessy brings up, oh, you're just waiting for the purge. And I think now at this point, if they do a purge, I'm praying this is it. I think this is the perfect time to cut the legs off and end the season after like next girls one. But even if they do one more, like they can't do a purge. Like I think it would just kill if they ever wanted to do this format ever again. They can't do it. They have to send at least one person home without a red skull for this format to like live up to what it was meant to be.
Well, let's talk about that at the end, because I feel like we get some information at the end of this episode and we have questions about it and we'll get to it. But yeah, I just still think the way that this format was designed, where they got very lucky at how many people have skulls and how many don't, but it like theoretically could have been that there are like six people at the end with no skull.
Mm-hmm.
But what
could have been,
and we'll talk about it, because I think we get some indication about what's going to happen. I want to talk more about the logic of certain people's arguments. What do you think of Corey coming to the table with like being here full time with no skull is not doing me any favors? Like, I have a kid at home, so I either need to go now or go home.
You know, Kyle had the same argument, right? So they both had the kid at home. So
that was funny. That was a good moment for Kyle.
Yeah, that was very funny. I mean, that's a brilliant argument. I feel like, you know, you play to people's heartstrings. I think that works a lot of times. So I thought Corey this whole season is really, every time he was in the tribunal or as the person or the one being interrogated, I thought he's had just a fantastic season. Anytime he's been put on the spot and having to argue his point one way or the other, I think he's been great.
So I agree. I think Corey's played a great strategic game, a great social game. He's been in tribunals many times. To me, though, with that argument, I say, where was that argument literally for the past 100 weeks? Like, it's almost like that's what Jenna said. That's what Tori said. Like, I feel like that argument doesn't hold weight when you've waited to literally the absolute last minute and you've been here the entire time without a skull. Like, but I worked, and I love Ryder and I love Corey. But I was like, come on, bruh. Like, you had that, like, you've waited mm-hmm. here without a skull this entire time.
Yeah, but I'm sure, obviously, like, I'm sure the longer it is, like, the waiting is longer, you're away longer, probably ways, you know, you're away for a week or 2 weeks. It's, you know, a lot different when you're at whatever, a month, 2 months. So I'm sure the weight of it is, you know, hitting him even further now.
I think it was totally calculated. It was a great speech. And like, totally. And I think he had the votes either way. Like, I think coming into this, there's no way Kyle had the votes.
No, I don't think so. Especially when you think about like, oh, Anissa said she owes Kyle. But I mean, Anissa and Corey have a history. So that was not going to go the other way. I mean, I guess you could see maybe like a Rogan or a Casey. You don't know exactly where they fully lie, but I mean, the rest of them kind of make sense.
Let's talk about Mel, who, you know, Josh introduces a Big Brother term floater into the challenge yeah. discourse that Mel then uses, which is hilarious to hear. But I didn't really know what was going on here, honestly.
No, but them doing the snake things at each other, Melissa standing up on the table, epic scene. Her calling him a twit, just great insult. I mean, no coming back from that. Melissa, her argument doesn't really hold a lot of water when she is like, you're the one going to keep me out from elimination when you very much could have gone in on your own last week. It's like, you know, you could have taken the power into your own hands there, but it was still very entertaining to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. It was good, clean challenge, drama, fun. And I think they're not mm-hmm. mad at each other. It's just like exactly what you said before. Like it was building against Josh. Like she just had mm-hmm. nothing really here, but.
It is nice to have a non-problematic fight happen in the challenge house. That's fun.
Totally agree. Jeremy Barton says, why did people let Corey get his red skull? Are you surprised the house voted him in?
I mean, people have been letting them do this type of stuff all season, so it's definitely not a surprise. I mean, I probably could talk about this, but why wouldn't there be any thought for Fessy to be like, hey, you know what? Maybe I should get a guy with a skull out rather than having another person in the final. I could take one out of the final. That seemingly has never been discussed.
Yeah, either. Alex Tria says, why wouldn't Fessy push to get three guys with skulls into interrogation to get Corey a skull and eliminate someone who has to compete with him in the final, potentially? I think, yes, that's what we want. Exactly what you described, Brian. Like, that's, I think, this game mechanic at its highest level. But the reality, and we got that last week, or the attempt of that last week. But I think the reality is exactly what you said before. Bailey's in the tribunal, and Fessy is a good friend of Corey's and plays a very loyal game. And like, so that's it. You know, like, I just think that's like as simple as it is.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have the votes, and I don't think he wanted to screw Corey.
Yeah. And especially for Fessy as a, you know, rookie coming in, I'm sure he wants to try to start building some friendships and a foundation. And if you screw over whoever you might as a friend, or you're trying to build over a friend in this type of moment, when Fessy could probably feel confident he's got a good chance to win the final anyway, that it's probably not worth like the future season capital of burning some of those bridges.
No, totally agree. I want to talk about the spin zone that Kyle creates before they end up going out. When he loses the vote, which has to be really sad for him, like that's like the only like really contested vote in a while. And I almost think not getting voted in is when you want to go in is worse than getting voted in when you don't. Like, it's worse than what happened to Jay. Like,
right.
And then he's like, well, yeah, no, I knew I wasn't going to win, but I just wanted to be like, you know, guaranteeing votes for next time because I tried to put myself in. Just a nice little spin. And we get the most iconic Anissa line of the season, which will be my stock response for anyone who texts me to try to do anything. I'm an injured woman trying to relax.
Anissa had a great line during the challenge too. Kyle was then a cut or clearly, I mean, clearly it was like, yeah. Kyle said this. Do you have like a response to it? Very good canned response there. Anissa's been a just all time season for the nope mug that you got.
We've been new, Brian. This is textbook Anissa. I'm an injured woman trying to relax. I mean, I've got to get that on a shirt somehow. Like, I just love that. All right, but they go out. We get a scene with Casey and Nani. Was this filler, or are we going to see some trouble in paradise with Casey and her girlfriend?
Yeah, I don't know. I sense this is filler because if this just feels like a scene that they could have easily have done like any other. Like, this could have been 2-3 weeks ago. Who the hell knows? I would lean more towards filler because, again, nothing really happened. Like, I know they're like getting more ugly and stuff like that, and Bailey's making comments, but that's just her interpretation of it. So, I mean, unless they do something at the reunion, I just don't, it doesn't seem like anything more is going to happen from it.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, I think it's really your answer from the last time we talked about it, which is like, depends on if Casey wins or not, how much of an issue.
Right.
I think this will be Casey's question at the reunion, and she'll be like, my girlfriend wasn't happy, but like, we're good, and Nani and I are just friends. Anytime a speculation about a couple cheating or like being someone cheating on their girlfriend or boyfriend is coming from a third party confessional, I feel like it's built up.
Yeah, and shout out to the song they did as they're going out, as Corey's like looking at pictures of Ryder, and then they play like the kids aren't all right for the offspring. The music choices have just been top notch for the challenge this season.
Yeah, they really shelled out. All right, we talked about the tribunal. I feel like already it was a really straightforward tribunal. I didn't wear my straightforward for tribunal fedora, but it was a straightforward tribunal with Josh, Kyle, and Swaggy. Nothing really more for me to say on that. I don't know about you.
No, everyone's like, I want to go in. Okay, glad we're doing this.
All right. Purgatory. Swaggy's got the votes. Unclear what the hell Dee was doing, but I guess she really doesn't get along with Bailey and Swaggy. I think that's some stuff got cut out last week, but I think also we've learned from Twitter that Dee like was trying to construct a narrative where they were in a fight. So whatever, Dee.
Just very funny also from Kyle. So the first vote, Fessy votes Swaggy. D votes for Kyle. And I know he has to do this, but then they get a cut to Kyle confession. Like, I got a vote. I think I got a really good shot to go in here. It's freaking Bailey next vote. Like, what are you? I mean, I know he has to say that as just like the TV moment. Just very funny, though.
No, totally. It was like ridiculous, but you know, that's fine. Corey, to me, though, and I want to know what you think of this elimination with the buttons. Corey is so lucky that it was not legs dependent.
Yeah. No, I agree. I thought this was the, you call it a very, very lucky break that, I mean, it seemed like you do have to use your legs, but it definitely wasn't as dependent as some other eliminations could have been for someone with an injured calf.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to bear weight. So like if you can use your legs with a strained calf, no problem. Like your leg could have been broken and you could probably be fine.
Yeah. Which would have been perfect for her. I'm sure the challenge would have been like, you got broke leg. You're good. You're good.
Meanwhile, Big T has to get ousted because of a cut on her foot.
Yeah. Big T. Yeah, but no, this I enjoyed this elimination. This was a good one. It was kind of a twist on some things they normally do. I saw lights, I thought, oh god, we're doing that stupid thing where it's like just the bananas and West one all over again. But I did like it was a puzzle-ish but physical-ish and a little bit of both. So this was a very good elimination to do.
I liked it. It was, you had to be strategic, you had to have body control, you had to have stamina. Like Corey had like a very dark red gash on his like shoulder afterwards. Maybe the harness was uncomfortable. Like it definitely wasn't the most grueling. I like though that we're seeing like a men's elimination be something like this. It kind of reminded me of like flipping the canister, like the canteens that Jenny demolished Jen in. In the fact that it wasn't gonna like ruin your life doing it. And I liked it. Like it doesn't need to be so dangerous to be exciting.
Yeah.
I didn't know who was gonna win. You know, kudos to Swaggy, but I do think like Corey's experience really won the day.
Yeah. It seemed like another one where getting too much help or someone trying to guide you might almost be more of a deterrent because you're kind of hearing, trying to take in too much, doing too many things at once. Sometimes it's, with these type of challenges, it's easier just to like you do you, whereas I guess it seemed like Swaggy was getting a little messed up with all the stuff calling in. So yeah, but good for Corey to win this one.
And like just the whole thing with Ryder, like, it was like nice. It just like felt good. I was so excited. And like, I think Swaggy got all he was going to get this season. I think we'll definitely see him back. And I want to see Corey go on.
I would say we definitely will see him back, but TJ with a, hopefully we'll see you in the future. Not the most confident, just a hopefully. Hopefully.
Yeah, I thought that was weird, but I also kind of think like, I mean, granted it's edited so we could get some, like they could insert TJ saying, we'll definitely see you in the future. But I think it's reasonable to use caution on someone's first season.
Yeah. I will have to, I need like an analyst, like look back on and be like, all right, what are the phrases? What's like the correlations? So they come back or they not come back. I need like an intern to run the numbers on that.
that would be a great study actually.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Speaking of Corey, Susie Ann says Corey's edit is really reminding me of Dad CT edit on Invasion. Which he won. What do y'all think of Corey's chances on winning? What should he buy Ryder with the money?
Probably a lot of toys. I guess that would be a good thing to buy. put it down for a college education. Got that one too. But yeah, I Corey's had a great edit. He's just been, you know, this has been by far his best season. So I would not be surprised if this is leading to him winning or at least doing very well in a final. So I'm very optimistic on Corey's chances as long as the ankle's okay.
I think this is his time. I'm here for it. I feel the good juju. I'm excited for Corey. I hope it works out for him.
Go Corey.
It's really Ryder, but go everyone. all right. I was upset to hear Bailey's plan be that Swaggy was supposed to go far and then she would go home and let Swaggy win. I was like, Bailey, she's won an individual challenge. She's been the tribunal. She's made good like moments on TV. She's athletic. Like I was like, come on, Bailey, don't sell yourself short.
Yeah, I would say Bailey has a higher win equity than Swaggy does.
It's hard because the women are so big.
They are. Very, I mean, this, as you said earlier, like this, the fact that the challenge broke out, that the two teams with two women, one man were the winners. I mean, it really goes to show the last few years, like the women have the crop of women that they've had on the show has really developed into in very short. It usually be like one or two, maybe three that would have a chance to win. Top to bottom, almost everyone on the season had a realistic chance of winning this season.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, let's get to the Red Skull stuff because I want to talk about that. I'm itching to discuss it. Robbie Freeman says that the final doesn't start after next week elimination. Is the Red Skull twist a complete bust? Now, let's work this out for a second, because so Kyle and Josh would go home, and then Mel, who's left without a Red Skull? Mel, Bailey, Nani. It's interesting that big, how it worked out like so perfectly that like Big T went home and now it would be two men and two women leaving. We get some voiceover from the next week on where TJ says, if you don't have a Red Skull, you better get one. And if you have one, you better not lose it.
Yeah, that's not the most optimistic for what I want to be, which is like, it's just so perfect at this point that after the women next women's elimination to cut it and go to the final. I feel like this, a lot of this is played out. Like, I mean, cause even the next 2 weeks, like it's just going to be what, like we know the elimination probably, unless someone wants to try to make a big move. And it seems like most people outside of a couple, a handful are really going to do that. So it's going to be, all right. So it's whoever doesn't go in for the women. And then, Josh and, Kyle for the men next week. It just kind of feels played out that like you need to cut it here. It just feels too perfect.
But see, that's my impression was that next week is not going to be normal, and it's going to be like a purge type scenario where people who have Red Skulls are going to be vulnerable too. That was my interpretation, especially it's like with the suit with all the Red Skulls. Like it's going to be like the five are going to have an opportunity, or maybe one more woman gets knocked out and then they start it and then they bleed into next week, like 2 weeks from now. That like the four left or the four or five left without skulls are going to have some opportunity to knock somebody else out who has a skull and take their place, which I think is BS. I don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. I'd be fine with a purge. But I think we have too few people. Not again. For the first time, I'm going to say if it's just two people and two people, the purge is just one more elimination. So I think that doesn't really work. Yeah. I think this is like too hot to handle where at the end they get to get the money back.
Yeah, so they're all, so Josh and Kyle are going into like the boom boom room at 9th, and if they don't go to elimination, then everyone gets a Red Skull.
Yeah, we'll see. So we'll see what happens next week. I agree with Robbie that like the twist is kind of a bust, especially if people who have Red Skulls are vulnerable again. Like that was supposed to be the hurdle. Get in, get your skull, you qualify for the final. If then you stay out of eliminations or you continue to win. It should not be at the end. The bottom feeders get a chance to slash your dreams.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you. I think the concept of this twist made sense. The execution was failing, which I feel like is a theme we see a lot with the challenge.
And fair enough, it's hard to control. Like, this could have been really great if people, like, were more willing to, like, make those moves that we talked about. I think maybe they expected more people to send people in with skulls to try to get the big dogs out. But, like, with this, what we talk about, we like that there's history. We like that the same people come back. The consequences, people are very worried about ruffling feathers for next season.
Yeah, I think what they just expected was a lot more of this week, where you have multiple two or three people in a given week jockeying to go in, and then you're campaigning for votes. I just don't think they really anticipated how many people would be fine with one person nominating themselves and then be like, okay, you go in, and then that kind of be it. I don't think they expected that,
or that there would be more of an effort to keep people like Jenny or Bananas or whatever out of the final. Like, I just, there's been no effort to eliminate the stronger people besides what happened last week. When on a normal season, there would be more effort to eliminate stronger people as we got to the end.
Yeah, it's odd.
All right, let's actually take a moment here. It's been a long time since we congratulated ourselves and went to the 5-star reviews. We have so far surpassed the 600 5-star reviews, guys, and I've been looking at it every week. I have no idea the last time I read. It's so many people. We are up to 614 5-star reviews. This is where a lot of people talked about what good friends we are. I do want to let one person know they gave us a 1-star review, but wrote a very positive comment.
I was going to mention that. Yeah. Kick those stars up. I know you meant to. Go back and adjust.
Kate's,
I think 4, iTunes will let
588.
You.
We appreciate the message. Why love it 1-star? So we appreciate it. Brian and I had our 6th podcasting anniversary on June 8th, the week that he was out. We want to put together a special podcast because we're in quarantine and we're bored and we've never done something like that. Ryan did his M&A in the Patreon group, but I have questions that were not asked. And if you think I went through and read all of those questions, you're wrong. So we'll still do something at some point, maybe after the season, if we're still in quarantine and we want to do a show after, maybe we'll do that. I don't know. I haven't talked to you about it.
Talking to you now sounds good to me.
So we'll figure that out. We have some exciting guests coming up as we finish out the season. So I feel like it's going to be a really strong finish. When do we feel like I will figure out by next week where I last left off, and I will thank all of you. So thank you so much, though. It's really meant a lot. It's really cool to see that you guys are still listening and you're still here,
mm-hmm.
and we're hanging out. So if you want to leave us a review and let us know what you think, 1 star or 5, just make sure the comment matches the rating. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes.
Do it. Make our day.
Drinking game?
That sounded threatening. But yeah. there were 11. All right, so we got Casey Speaks one time. Someone walks over a table. Melissa did one time. They went to a new bar. I don't know if they went to a new bar, but I guess I'll give Kyle the benefit of the doubt. Talking to someone from outside the world, talking to Ryder. TJ joking, mocking Bananas and Broken's barrel rolling attempt. One friend going home when you have power. That's very much with Bailey. 5 mentions of my final. And that's your 11.
Love it. Thanks, Kyle.
There you go. Yeah, thank you, Kyle. What's your rule for this week?
My rule is going to be if someone talks about how hard they've worked, if that makes sense. Like, I've worked so hard. I've come so far. I've done everything right this season. I've been on season for 100 years. Like, this is my time. Like, that kind of, like, reflection that you deserve it.
So, like, if you, like, you deserve it. You earned it. Okay. All right. Mine's going to be if someone with a red skull goes into another elimination.
Oh, that's good. But does it count if it's like a purge where they're all vulnerable or something?
Then you every drink with every single person. No. Only if it's an actual elimination.
Okay. Like that? Like that?
Like that.
All right. So we have some tweets. Let's see. Bailey. Oh, this is interesting. Not interesting. Troubling, honestly. So basically,
that's a good term.
Basically, I don't know if you saw this, but a famous Survivor villain has a podcast, and he had a troubled Big Brother contestant on. This will be a blind item because I don't want to amplify this.
What a vague description of a situation.
Who said some S about Bailey and Swaggy in the way that they were talking about potentially who would be on for All Stars. And I only saw a small clip, to be fair. But, you know, they were talking about Angela and Tyler. And then the Big Brother person said, like, you know, something derogatory, like acted like he didn't know Bailey and Swaggy's names and addressed them by their race. And it just was like so, you know, unnecessary. And later the host of the podcast decided to take it down because he felt he should have intervened and said something. Obviously, the person knew their name. It was just disrespectful for disrespect's sake. And Bailey and Swaggy have talked a lot about the ways that they're treated differently than other Big Brother showmances. And, you know, I can't prove that that's true, but just anecdotally, it seems 100% true. And so Bailey and Swaggy responded to that. So Bailey said, TBH, I really hate being in the public eye sometimes while people are scrambling for relevance. At Swaggy and I are working our asses off so we can disappear. Wealth over fame, lifestyle over popularity. Shift your priorities, people. Your small-mindedness is showing. And Swaggy quote tweeted it and said, we don't have to do another TV show again and we're easily fine. TV is fun and for fun and competition, and it's getting to a point where it isn't fun anymore. I'm gonna end up taking my ass, my wife, my trading knowledge, and my money to a mansion in Beverly Hills and leaving this S behind. And it's like a shame. It's a shame. Like, people should feel free to say they don't like people, like we do on this show all the time. I don't like them as a character. I don't like that they did that. I don't like this. But like, Bailey and Swaggy get so much shit that they don't deserve to get. And it's like sad that two people who are potentially bringing a lot to the show in the future are dealing with crap like this, especially from other reality contestants.
Yeah, they should have at least some knowledge of like what they're going through and how to relate. Yeah, that's the shitty part.
All right. So Mel said, this killed me. Mel said, by the way, I'm putting that meltdown against Josh down to hormones. Angry pregnant lady, and I didn't even know it. Laugh cry emoji.
That's funny.
Bananas also, Mel also quote tweeted Bananas and said, Bananas weekly pregnancy tweet, laugh cry emoji, Bananas said, that's no fair. Mel coming at Josh like that, dot, dot, dot. It's 2-on-1, tilted laugh cry emoji.
You gotta like that.
And then Bailey said, screw you, Johnny. My baby has swag. And different baby. My baby has swag. And Johnny says, did I say swag? I meant swing. Damn, autocorrect Pinocchio emoji, which made me laugh. And then some interesting news out of the Ari the One world. Uche and Clinton, who were a no match on whatever season of Ari the One, are engaged now.
Wow, good for them.
How do you like that?
Gotta like them apples.
That's really exciting for them. So shout out to them. I always think when this happens, because like the two married couples were, right? Like, who are the first couple to get married who have a kid, two kids?
Amber and Ethan?
Yeah, they were a match.
Yeah, they were.
Okay, so 50-50. You gotta say, like, when someone on their season ends up getting engaged, the matchmakers have to be like, oh, come on. Like, we were so close. That would have been great. But shout out to them. They use the hashtag no match, which is really sweet. I like that. Great wedding hashtag.
Wait, who else from Are You the One is married?
Ethan and anyone? Amber.
No. But is there anyone else?
Are Jenny and Curtis still together?
Oh, I don't know.
The other Are You the One
you
baby.
Meant this is the second couple. I thought you meant there was a second, another.
No,
second
sorry.
Couple
this that, is the okay. second. I'm Googling now because, like, whatever. I want to look at this. We're under an hour. Let's see who's still together from TV Insider. Okay, they have two kids. They're so cute, Amber and Ethan. Good for them. Jenny and Curtis. It says they're still dating. What? This is as of September 2019. So this is outdated. Who knows? Well, maybe we'll come back next week with this information for anyone who cares.
Yeah. What was her name? Jenny, like, I think it was like Napper
Nat
or something.
Miller.
Yeah. I can't believe I pulled that one out.
You did it.
I sort of did. I'm giving myself credit.
So we have some plugs.
Yes.
You got a dog.
I did get a dog.
How's that going?
It's good. He's a little rambunctious one. He has a lot of energy. Sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's annoying, but it's, he's adorable. So it's great.
You know what's exciting? Is that your wife, Emily, followed me on Instagram, so I followed her back. And it is so hilarious to see her content of you, Brian. Like, you guys are away safely. Or I don't know if you still are, you were, whatever.
Yeah, we still are.
They still are. And I guess you went out to dinner or something, and she posted the most embarrassing photo I've ever seen of anyone. Like, making a frowny face, being like, oh, I miss my dog already. He's at home. Like, it's a kid. And I was just like, oh, this is going to give me countless joy and countless material to ambush you with on the podcast.
I very much looking forward to that. And if you want to follow our dog on Instagram, he has an Instagram. It's at Sunny the Dude. Give a follow there.
Is it D-O-O-D?
D-O-O-D.
It's critical.
Because he's a mini golden doodle. It's Sunny the Dude.
All right. A couple more plugs. I, as you heard on this podcast, was eating the rest of a whatchamacallit bar from a podcast I did with Puya on his Twitch stream. I guess it's not a podcast. It's a stream. I don't know what the kids are doing. But you could go to Puya or my Twitter. I don't even know Puya's Twitter off. Is it Puya ZVN?
Is it Puyaisms?
Oh, Puyaisms. That's probably right.
It was
right.
Like Puya.
If you want to check that out, I bought.
Look at me knowing this. This is what happens. I get involved. I know people's handles now. I know them all.
Puya's a good one to know. I have a ton of candy. It's ridiculous. Okay, that was a lot of fun. He streams twice. He streams 100 times a week. I don't know, check it out. And really critically importantly, we've auctioned off opportunities to be on this podcast before. And a lot of you guys have said, like, I don't want to pay to be on a podcast. I can. Like, totally reasonable stuff. I wouldn't either. Believe me. Although we do appreciate those people, and they should apply to this if they're interested. Rob Cesternino of Rob Has a Podcast has put out a call. They're doing a casting call. They're doing a biggest rounds of auditions they've ever had. If anybody listened to So You Think You Can Podcast, this is not that. This is not a competition. It will be like a Zoom interview. It will be cut a clip of yourself. I looked at the application. It's some short answers and a 2-minute clip talking about a TV show. They're looking to have guests. They're looking for new hosts. They're looking for new talent. So if you listen to this and you're like, these people are crap, I could do this better, please, please, please feel free to apply.
You probably can.
You definitely can. And any podcaster on this network has tweeted this out. You could go to @LashTweets. I've tweeted out. Rob is @RobSesternino. He's tweeted it out. So all of the information is there.
Yes. Highly recommend. It's a fun community to be a part of. Even if you're a guest, you do your own show. It's a fun world to be a part of. Go do it.
We have no credentials, so.
Very much not. We are very much no press, as our as our trademark says.
That's it.
Episode 12 in the books. You can follow us on Twitter @ConWithACBrian_. They can follow you.
I already said it. You know Puya's handle? You don't know mine?
@LashTweets. We'll be back next week for episode 13. Until then, have a good one.